From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. Chloe here, August 17th, Health and Longevity in 10. Let's begin with what changed my mind this week. Let's get into it. First, from Science Alert. After half a century, physicists find the strongest evidence yet for an exotic glue ball particle. An important part of the standard model of particle physics, quantum chromodynamics describes the strong interaction of quarks and gluons to create the ordinary matter we see, touch, and taste. Quarks are fundamental subatomic particles that combine in trios to make up familiar baryons such as protons and neutrons, and gluons are the quantum gorilla glue that binds their quark structure together. For nearly 50 years, physicists have hunted for glue balls, exotic particles predicted by this theory of the strong interaction. Next, second, from Chad's weather blog, August 16, evening weather forecast update. A new update from the weather app has gone live, thanks to the support of their sponsors. This upgrade allows for more weather stations to be set up in the area, providing more accurate and localized forecasts. The app's radar software has also been improved, enabling better storm tracking and visualization. Additionally, the new software will enable the creation of more detailed graphics to help users understand weather patterns. Up next, third, from Play Makes Us Human. So, a group of folks got together to talk about how kids can get their autonomy back, which is a pretty big deal since they've been systematically deprived of it by schools, families, and society. Peter Gray was there, and he's all about practical reforms within the conventional school system. He thinks that if we can give kids more freedom to make choices and take risks, they'll be better equipped to handle those choices and take care of themselves. One idea that came up was to create more student-led schools, where kids have a say in what they learn and how they learn it. The idea is that this will help them develop problem-solving skills and learn to work together. There's also talk of creating more flexible schedules and allowing kids to take breaks when they need to, which can help them manage stress and stay focused. Another thing that came up was the importance of giving kids opportunities to fail and learn from their mistakes. This is a big part of autonomy because it means kids are taking ownership of their choices and learning from them. It's not about letting kids do whatever they want, but about giving them the space to make choices and learn from them. It's worth noting that this is all still pretty theoretical, and there aren't a lot of concrete examples of how this would work in practice. But the idea is that by giving kids more autonomy, we can help them develop the skills they need to succeed in life and become more independent. And then, fourth, from Sin's Room, sometimes healing begins when you finally stop explaining what hurt you. So there's this idea that healing starts when you finally stop explaining your pain to people who don't get it. You know, when you're tired of replaying conversations and wondering if you're being too sensitive. It's like you're carrying around the emotional aftermath of someone who's already moved on, and that's exhausting. The point is, you don't have to become who you were before the abuse. You get to become someone even more loyal to yourself. That's the premise of a new 30-day journal for healing after narcissistic abuse. It's a guided digital journal with 70 pages of original writing, reflection, and exercises to help you work through things like gaslighting, trauma bonds, and rebuilding your sense of self. Each day starts with something to read, something to confront, and something to write through. It's not just generic prompts, it's a real, honest look at the process of healing. The journal covers topics like learning to trust your own memory again, building a life that doesn't revolve around the person who hurt you, and finding peace in a way that feels authentic. The idea is to help women who have survived narcissistic abuse finally start choosing themselves again. It's not about being destroyed, it's about being asked to find yourself again. The journal is called The Woman They Couldn't Destroy, and it's available now. Next, fifth, from Carlita Shaw, The Arithmetic of Madness. I'm reading a first-person piece that feels like a long, weary phone call from someone who's been stranded in a quiet French village with 6 rescued animals. The writer describes how a promise of help from a local benefactor turned into abandonment, leaving them without rides for vet visits, groceries, or medical appointments. Because taxis are prohibitively expensive and refuse pets, they are forced to beg strangers over the phone, each unanswered call adding to a sense of isolation. The narrative paints the village as a lifeless stone setting, contrasting sharply with the vibrant, community-rich neighborhoods the author knows from Latin America. The lack of public transport, the author's declining health, and the moral cowardice of the person who lured them there all combine into a feeling of being trapped in a sun-bleached purgatory. Beyond the personal struggle, the piece weaves in broader frustration about environmental activism, noting how the author's lifelong fight for the Amazon feels hollow when they are now stuck in a place that seems indifferent to both people and the planet. The tone is raw, not polished, and there's no data or study, just a vivid, lived experience of loneliness, broken promises, and the clash between idealism and harsh reality. Up next, sixth, from Inverse Science. Is Hal Jordan really dead? Lanterns answers a Superman mystery with a shocking twist. Hal Jordan's fate is shown right away. In the first episode, we jump to 2026 and find him dead in the snow, bullet wound to the head and without his ring. It's a deliberate kill, not an accident, and it clears the way for Jon Stewart to become the next Green Lantern, even though he's still a civilian when we meet him. The series is built around the One Ring rule in the new DC universe, so only one Guardian can hold the ring at a time. That means Guy Gardner, who showed up in the recent Superman film, ends up inheriting the mantle after Hal's death, not Jon. The show jumps back and forth in time, stitching together Hal's tenure, early 90s 2010s, the present day mystery, and the eventual handoff to John. It promises to explain why Gardner is the sole lantern now and how the timeline fits together, even if the answers feel a bit tangled. And then, seventh, from Fies.org, flightless beetles evolved distinct snail-hunting shapes on Japan's largest island. Researchers studied flightless beetles on Japan's largest island, Honshu. They found that different populations of these beetles developed distinct shapes to hunt snails, even though they lived relatively close to each other. This suggests that environmental variation within a large island can drive adaptive divergence, just like it does on smaller islands. The study looked at 15 populations of these beetles and found that their snail hunting shapes were related to the local availability of snail prey. Next, eighth, from Inverse Science, 80 Weird Things for Men with Near-Perfect Amazon Reviews That Are So Genius. When thousands of Amazon reviewers can't stop raving about something, especially when it's weird looking or oddly specific, you know it's worth a closer look. These are the kinds of products that guys keep calling insanely smart and actually life-changing. So we've rounded up some of our favorite weird but genius finds that guys swear by, from beard bibs to magnetic tool belts to weatherproof lighters. They're practical without being boring and backed by near-perfect ratings for a reason. This outdoor multi-tool includes a 5-foot paracord, magnesium rod, and steel fire starter. Up next, ninth, from Manga Bay, logging and the slow disappearance of Australia's large old trees commentary. Large old trees are among the most important structures in native forests in Australia and around the world. They store disproportionately large amounts of carbon relative to small, young trees, and they provide the nesting and denning hollows that hundreds of animal species depend on. A single large old tree can take 2 or 3 centuries to grow. There is a persistent claim that logging does little or no lasting harm to these trees. It is worth examining what the evidence actually shows. And then, 10th, from Manga Bay, South Africa's top court blocks shell oil exploration off country's wild coast. South Africa's Constitutional Court just threw out the exploration permits that Shell and Impact Africa held for the Wild Coast. The court said the government never really consulted the local communities or weighed the damage to their cultural ties, livelihoods, marine life, or the climate. Because those consultations are more than a formality, they protect human dignity, the permits were invalidated. The decision leans on the recent International Court of Justice climate advisory, stressing that any resource project must be guided by solid science and the foreseeable impacts of emissions. In short, the ruling blocks offshore seismic work and reinforces community rights. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. Want this every morning? It's free. Set up your own feed at storyflow.com.